When I was younger, I had fairly constant allergies living in Southern California. Severe hay fever symptoms when we went to the county fair, rashes when drinking Hawaiian punch, watery eyes and a runny nose with the new kittens across the street. Difficult breathing when the Santa Ana winds blew. My parents and I would make note of when the symptoms arose and then through trial and error would discover what was bothering my allergies and then try to avoid direct contact with that substance again in the future. It also meant I grew up with a fairly regular swollen tonsils and a runny nose. But as a kid, I figured out how to use this to my advantage. You see, out of necessity, I had learned how to breathe out of my mouth and therefore not use my nasal cavities. Well, a little bit of information, when you don't smell things, you also don't taste things. So, as was the rule in my house growing up, the three bites of whatever was on my plate, I could do every time. I was the model of good table manners. I thought about this childhood feat as I was reading the story of St. Stephen this week. How we can look away or refuse to taste or recoil our touch when we don't want to experience something. Partially self-protection at times, and partially a desire not to be disturbed or upset by anything. But to not hear something, that actually requires a more deliberate action. You need to either have another sound overwhelm the undesired sound, or somehow plug your ears. It requires a different level of disconnection. Our reading from the book of Acts today is a small snippet from a much larger story arc that needs to be explored so we can better understand this reading. To begin with, during the season of Eastertide, these 50 days from Easter to Pentecost, we traditionally read from the book of Acts for our first reading, instead of reading from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. The book of Acts is believed to have been written by the same author that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and actually serves as one long continuous story, from Luke's birth story, through Jesus's ministries, through his crucifixion and resurrection, to the new church forming, to Paul's travels. Biblical scholars have also come to believe that the author of these writings was probably an educated Greek Jew that was writing for an audience of both Jewish Christians as well as Gentile Christians. And with this targeted audience in mind, these writings are written in a way to encourage the audience to see how God is calling them to a new faith, one in which Jesus is being human is the culmination of God's promise to God's people. And in the opinion of the writer of Acts, the Jewish authorities who had not accepted Jesus as divine and the Son of God are no longer God's chosen ones. That's the context of this first reading. So our reading today comes from about one third of the way through Acts, as the church is beginning to form and to begin to create their set of beliefs and creeds. And prior to our reading today, we learned some disagreements have been recently forming in this new sect. Surprise, surprise, disagreements in the church. So Stephen was given the task of caring for the widows that the synagogue had not been caring for. Stephen, as the first deacon of the church, grew quite popular and admired for these good works. And as his popularity grew, others in the synagogue became jealous and threatened. Ultimately, after being defeated in debate by Stephen, these others began to rile up the crowds to charge Stephen with blasphemy. Stephen's defense of his actions reads like the testimony of the early church, depicted through the eyes of this book of Acts. Stephen traces the history of the Israelites and recalls how God sent numerous prophets that were rejected by the people, eventually Stephen arguing that God sent Jesus to save God's people and Jesus defeated death on the cross. This long speech, if you notice, our reading today is verses 55 in chapter 7. The preceding verses, 1 through 54, are Stephen's speech. Very long. This long speech by Stephen inflames the crowd, and they become an angry mob that takes Stephen out to the edge of the city and stones him to death. In some way, this reading can feel almost like a movie scene. You can almost imagine the camera focused on Stephen as the stones get thrown at him from outside the frame. And then you hear Stephen cry, "Do not hold this sin against them." The camera then pans out a bit more and captures the crowd, faces full of fury as though they are possessed and not fully in control of their actions, throwing stones and rocks again and again. And then the camera slowly picks up someone from the crowd, and the camera follows him as he takes off his coat and lays it down at the feet of a man standing off to the side. As the viewer, we don't know that this is Saul of Tarsus, eventually Saint Paul, but we sense that there's a story in his condoning of this violence and this sickening act. This movie also could capture one other thing that we miss in the reading of this story, the sounds. What would it have sounded like? Yelling, grunting, cries from Stephen, cheers from the gathered onlookers, the sounds of the rocks, the sounds of feet shuffling on the gravel and the dirt. And as I have read and reread this passage, I continue to focus on this idea of closing our ears. Biblical scholars tell us that it was referencing the fact that the crowd refused to hear any more of Stephen's speech. But I think there's something more. What else did they not want to hear? What sounds were they trying to ignore? What were their shouts meant to drown out? Because we do the same thing today. We close our ears to things we do not want to hear. Sometimes these are painful things, sounds that are heartbreaking, loved ones sobbing, a devastating diagnosis, a cry of pain. Sometimes they're uncomfortable, hearing how we hurt someone, a mistake that we made, an error in judgment. Sometimes they are beyond our comprehension, the death toll of war or natural disaster. Sometimes they are things that we just want to ignore, the ask for a few dollars on the street corner, the ask for more time or help, the ask for assistance. Sometimes they are things that we've purposely put out of our minds, past pain and rejections, past heartaches, past grief. Sometimes they are things that we cannot see, but we know that they are there. The devastation to our environment, racism, sexism, homophobia, hatred of our fellow human beings. So what do we do when we close our ears? How do we find our way back to hearing all that we need to hear in the world? I offer three possibilities. I'm sure there are many, many others. Each Sunday, as we gather here in this place, we confess our shortcomings, our times that we have turned away from God, our moments of not hearing God in the world. We say that confession communally, and we ask for God's forgiveness, recognizing our humanity and need for God to right things in the world. We ask God in the prayers of the people each week to care for our world, to care for the well-being of those hurting and in trouble, and to guide those in authority to care for those in need. And then, when we prepare to go out into the world to do this work that God calls us to do, we are bid by the clergy. May you remain open to wonder and mystery, to what is strange and new and precious in each child of God, that with the whole communion of saints, you might walk in the light of hope. In other words, we ask God to give us the eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to feel where God is calling us to do the work that God needs us to do. As each of us are called through our baptismal covenant to respect the dignity of every human being, may we open our ears to hear their call. And that is enough.